Did you hear the question? I hope not, because there was no question in that passage. I confess to you that I'm cheating this morning. Now, the reason for my cheating is it has a little bit of history to it. I got into a conversation with someone about giving sermons. And I asked, is that part of the culture, the history here at Highland? And as I recall, the answer was, no, we don't usually do that. So I went to the administrative committee and asked them, do you want me to give a stewardship sermon? And they kind of jumped at that. I don't want to impugn any of their motives, but they were thinking, this guy is only here for a little while. Let's send him out there, kind of like the canary in the mine, that sort of thing. And if he gets beat up, he'll be gone in a while. He'll get over it. Maybe. But that's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to talk about giving. And even though I'm going to talk about giving to Highland Covenant Church and the ministry of Highland Covenant Church, I want you to understand at the very beginning that this applies to all giving. And the importance of giving and all that's involved with giving. If you're a visitor with us this morning, please understand that it is God's will that you happen to be here this morning, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. And please understand, Highland Covenant does not do this sort of thing every other Sunday or something. Okay. Let me begin with a story. It is a story that begins like many preacher story begins, with two men marooned on a little island in the middle of the ocean. One of the men is running around frantically, collecting tree limbs and whatever he can to start a fire so that there will be a smoke signal so any ships passing by can see them. The other man is lying in the shade, taking it easy, watching his friend run around and start a fire. The guy who's working suddenly asks, "What's up with you? Don't you understand we're marooned? We need to let people know we're here." And this other guy says, "Well, I'm a millionaire. I have lots of money." His friend responds, "Well, what's that got to do with anything? Let me tell you. I go to church. I regularly give to my church. My pastor will find us." All right. So I want to talk to you about the giving of money generally, but specifically giving to Highland Covenant Church. First thing I want to say is that it's okay. It's okay for me or a preacher to speak about money. And it's okay because God does. Frequently in His Word. Specifically in His Word. Let me give you some examples. From the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 9. "Then a message went out to Judah and Jerusalem. It said that the people should bring the tax to the Lord. God's servant Moses had required Israel to pay that tax when they were present in the desert." Very specific reference to paying. And here it's not even called a donation or an offering. It's a tax. And people are, by the command of God, they are to pay this tax. God is comfortable in the Old Testament of speaking about money and the giving thereof. He's comfortable about talking about money generally, but specifically about giving it, paying it, to support the temple and the work of God, et cetera, et cetera. In the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, this is what it says. This is what Paul writes. "Brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the churches of Macedonia. They have suffered a great deal, but their suffering, their joy was more than full. Even though they were very poor, they gave very freely. I tell you that they gave as much as they could. In fact, they gave even more than they could." That's a good thing. Encouraging, et cetera, et cetera. He's acknowledging what the Macedonians have done. Listen to what he does next, just four verses later. I am not commanding you to do it. That is, give to this offering. This offering was a collection was for the church in Jerusalem, and they were suffering. And Paul wants to send them some funds. I'm not commanding you to do it, but listen. But I want to test you. I want to find out if you really love God. I want to compare your love with that of others. Can you imagine the reaction if I were to do that, or if any pastor were to do that? I want to compare your giving to the church down the street. Or even more specifically, I want to compare the giving of you, so-and-so, to you, so-and-so. What if we posted a list on the front door as you came into the sanctuary? This is a list of the people at Highland Covenant Church. And here's what they gave. Yeah, exactly. That's not exactly what Paul does there, but he comes pretty close. He says, I want to compare. I want to compare what you're going to do to help the people in Jerusalem, the Christians in Jerusalem. I want to compare it to what the Macedonians did. I want to see how much you love God. And this is a measurement I'm going to use. Talk about nervy. And talk about specific commands about the giving of money. God in his word, through his word, specifically and frequently talks about money. Jesus, I never have researched this personally, I have read it in more than one place, that Jesus, other than the kingdom of God, teaches more about money and possessions than anything else. More than love your neighbor. Money and possessions. Jesus returns to that topic over and over again. So it's okay to talk about money and the giving thereof. And it's okay to talk about giving to Highland Covenant Church. In the Bible, God's work and money are often linked. 2 Corinthians 11:8, I received some support from other churches so I could serve you. When he says support, he means provisions or could be money, whatever it is that it takes him to live. He has received support for other churches so that he could minister to the Corinthians. Money and ministry, in God's word, are often linked. It's okay to talk about giving to Highland Covenant Church or to any other ministry you seek to support. Why give? Specifically, why give to Highland Covenant Church? Well, to do God's work. Highland Covenant Church needs many things. It needs time from people who are involved in ministry. It needs the skills of people involved in ministry. It needs the people of Highland Covenant to be in prayer about the ministry. It needs all of those things to do the work God wants Highland Covenant to do. But it also, Highland Covenant, needs money to do the work God wants us to do. That is not the churches, that is not Highland Covenant Church's dirty little secret. It's just the way it is. It's just true. We want to have this building. We want to have the staff that we have. We want to carry on the ministry to children and youth that we have. We want to support ministries. We want to send kids to camp. We want to do all of that. But it requires money. There's nothing secretive about that, nothing to be ashamed of about that. It's just what it takes. Among many, many other things, it does take money. So why give to Highland? Because of those reasons. Generally, why give? Because Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Let me say that again. You cannot serve both God and money. If you are devoted to one, you will despise the other. Let's take him at his word. Let's say that he's not dealing with hyperbole. He means what he says. And what he said was, you cannot serve both God and money, but more. If you are devoted to money, you will despise God. If you are devoted to money, you will despise God. Well, I think that brings up a crucial question. How do you know? How do you know if you're devoted to money or love money in a way that prompts you to despise God? How do you know if you're serving money? Here's some ways you might know. How can you tell if you love, serve, are devoted to money? Two tests. First, do you give it away? Can you give it away? Have you given it away? If you cannot give it away, and here in the context that I'm preaching, if you cannot give money to support ministries, unless there's some extenuating circumstances, and I'll touch on that later, you are in danger of despising God. If you cannot give it away, then you are in danger of loving, serving money and not loving, not serving God. I didn't make that up. It's what Jesus said. Second, another way of testing whether we serve or are devoted to money and therefore despise God, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Jesus says in Matthew 6:21. A warning about that. Let me read it again. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do not reverse that. Okay? Do not reverse that. Do not think this is saying, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. That's not what he said. He said it the other way around. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you want to know if you love money and serve it, the best place to look is not your heart. It's in your bank statement. You can say, well, I have a really good attitude about money. I do not serve money. I'm not devoted to money. I don't love money. I don't worship money and what money can bring. I have a really good attitude about it. Fine. But Scripture says, if you want to know the kind of attitude you have toward money, don't look at your heart. Look at your bank book. Look at your bank statement. Where's your money going? I think that's a useful test. Why give? Or rather, how should we give? 2 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, each one should set aside a sum of money in keeping with their income. In keeping with their income. How should we give? In keeping with our income. For that reason, a percentage serves as a good guide. I know it doesn't say anywhere in the New Testament that we should give a tithe, 10%. Oh, by the way, just to clarify that, when we use that expression tithe, I tithe, that means you give 10%. It's not just giving, it's 10%. It's a useful guide. It's not a commanded guide in the New Testament, but it is a helpful guide, 10%. And that helps us give in accordance with our income. So it could change. You get a new job that pays you a lot more money? Well, your giving should reflect that. You lose your job, your income is gone. What your giving would reflect that. There's a great deal of freedom in that approach. That's establishing a percentage. And I'm sure that if you have never had that discipline of giving 10%, that sounds like an impossible number. How can I possibly do that? Yeah, I'll give you sort of a practical kind of thing. Start somewhere. You know, part of me wants to say, well, do it anyway. Well, no, I'll say that. Do it anyway. But, if you were to come to my office and ask for my advice about that, I said, you know, I heard what you said Sunday, and you said something about giving to us. We just can't do that. I would say to you, we'll start somewhere. Don't stop at saying, I can't do that. We can't do that. No. Start somewhere. It may be that by God's grace and your own discipline, you will get there, but start somewhere. And I would say that with emphasis. Start somewhere. How give? In keeping with your income. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, let's be honest with each other. I'm sure when you hear that passage, God loves a cheerful giver, you're all thinking, I suspect, something like, right. Really? God loves a cheerful giver? Who exactly is a cheerful giver? Well, first of all, let me tell you something about that. First of all, to give cheerfully is, according to Paul, not to give reluctantly or under compulsion. In other words, not out of guilt. If you choose to give to Highland Covenant Church, hopefully it's not because someone has guilted you into it. Instead, if you want to give cheerfully to Highland Covenant Church or any other ministry, you do it because that ministry is worthy of your support. You give cheerfully because you value that ministry and you want to be a part of that. Highland Covenant Church is a good ministry. My experience here has been great. My observation of you as a congregation has been encouraging, and you do good work here. It is this ministry, and what God is trying to accomplish through this ministry is a good thing. If you choose to contribute financially towards this ministry, you ought to feel good about that, and it ought to be a reason to make you a cheerful giver. Do it on a schedule. If you want to give cheerfully, do it on a schedule. Remember what it said about on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income? I would say the same to you. Do it on a schedule. Don't make it dependent on some moment inspiration. Instead, do it as a discipline. This is what we do. Every month, every week, whatever it might be, this is what we do. And in regard to that, if you want to be a cheerful giver, do it first. Not after you've paid all the other bills. This is how much we have left. Oh, we got to give to the church, etc., etc. Do it first. Okay? that makes it more possible for you to be a cheerful giver. Third reason, third source of cheerfulness, decide in your heart. Make a decision about it. If you're a family, and if you want to, you can talk about it as a family, individually. But decide. Make a conscious, deliberate decision. This is what we're going to give to the ministry of Highland Covenant Church. We're going to make a commitment. We're going to decide. We're going to decide in our hearts. On the communication card, on the back, where you are offered opportunities to respond to a variety of things, this morning there is a question that you, will you decide, or rather it asks you to affirm, we will decide about our financial commitment to Highland Covenant Church. I encourage you to respond to that, to fill that out, It's not a request about how much you're going to support Highland Covenant. This is not that sort of thing. This is just offered to you as a way of discipline. It's not a thing that you're going to decide this morning. Maybe you've already decided it, or you're going to decide it. But what we're trying to accomplish in this is to encourage you to do that, to decide in your heart. This is what we're going to do. As God provides, this is what we're going to do. If catastrophe comes upon us financially, we won't be able to do it. If blessings come upon us, good. We'll be able to do it, and maybe even more. But make a decision. Think about it. Decide in your heart. Last thing about giving cheerfully. I think it's important that when you give, that you have the attitude that says, I wonder what God will do with this. I wonder how he will use it. I wonder how it will further his work, his kingdom, his love. I encourage you to think about it in those ways. Do not think, this is a terrible approach, I know, because that's what you're going to think of. Do not think in terms of, boy, I wonder what I could have done with that money. I wonder if we could have bought a newer, better, nicer car with that money. Instead of thinking of what you might have been able to do, think of what God will do with that donation, those funds. You want to be a cheerful giver? Imagine the possibilities of what God will do, what you give to him in support of his work. Okay? All right. Let's pray.